You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Well, Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome in to our first Gym Class of 2023. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour on this Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, Ben and Isaac on the other side of the glass here today as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. We are again in 2023, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com and learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to their website at dupaco.com. Lots to get to. We'll talk about the Music City Bowl, Iowa with the shutout victory over Kentucky, what that means going into 2023 as far as the Iowa football team is concerned. Also, news out of Iowa City today that we will get to. We'll talk a little bit of college hoops. The college bowl season getting ready for the championship game, and a very unlikely championship game, if you will. We'll talk about that and, of course, what happened last night in Cincinnati. All that and more coming your way on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. As we get into 2023, I hope everybody had a happy and safe new year out there as we get into a shortened week this week, but nonetheless, a good week here on the radio. And Mark, a happy new year to you and our listeners out there. Was it a good one?
You as well, Scott, and to our listeners as well. Yeah, I'm in football coma, but we enter 2023 and a lot of interesting things to chew about and go over from what was a long weekend. Where do you want to start?
Well, I think we got to start with last night.
Yeah.
What happened in Cincinnati, Ohio, of course, in the latter stages of the first quarter, as DeMar Hamlin, the safety for the Buffalo Bills, actually in there because of an injury to former Hawkeye Micah Hyde, which occurred very early in the season. And, of course, everyone knows that follows the sports world and really the world in general now, because this was on CNN last night after it happened. And that, of course, is the devastating injury and then the cardiac arrest on the field with Hamlin and the suspension. And probably it hasn't been announced as of yet, but probably cancellation of that game last night between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Buffalo Bills. Certainly a very scary situation out on the field. We all know that. And, along with everybody, thinking about DeMar Hamlin today as he starts, hopefully, what will be a recovery, and from his family earlier on today, as well as people in his inner circle saying that that he is still in critical condition in a Cincinnati hospital. And I guess all indications are that He's going to make it, going to be okay eventually. And that's the bottom line in this situation. But it was one of those things. It's a rarity, and thank goodness it is a rarity. You don't want to see that ever, no matter what the sport is. And we're just reminded again that football is a very violent and a very dangerous game. And it was not a good situation last night.
No, it wasn't, and it was a stunning situation, and I think you will join me in applauding the doctors, the first responders, because they probably did save the young man's life. Cut his jersey away, cut his equipment away, gave him CPR, and you can't say enough about those people who train and train and train. This was not a drill. This was the real deal. Again, it was stunning. You hope the best for DeMar Hamlin. He is still in the hospital. You know, his vitals appear good upon last report. But it seemed like it wasn't an unusual hit. T. Higgins hit him in perhaps the absolute wrong spot. And the last thing I'm going to do today is make a judgment about why the young man had a cardiac arrest. There's all kinds of theories out there. I don't want to go down that road. It's unfair to him, in particular, unfair to his family. Let's figure out. I have no idea whether there was underlying conditions or what have you. He got hit in a bad spot.
Yeah, yeah. And we've heard this so many times. If you've been near the field or on the field in an NFL game, and this is an NFL game. I know many people in Eastern Iowa and in Central Iowa, just over the state of Iowa. You've been to Kinnick Stadium, obviously. You've been to Jack Trice Stadium. And the stands are, especially at Kinnick, the stands are very close to the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the ferocity, and you can also see the speed of which these athletes just throw their bodies around the field. If you have seen that in an NFL game, if you've been in that situation where you've been close to the field, et cetera, I have been. You take what you see at Iowa or Iowa State and you multiply it by three. These are, and it's been said before, and these are car wrecks on every play. And sometimes, like you said, just happens to be you get hit at the wrong spot at the wrong time. And, you know, whether it be a football game, whether it be, an auto race, whatever the case may be, we've seen cardiac arrests happen in basketball. We've seen them in basically every sport out there. It's a scary, scary situation, and we just hope the best for this young man. Ralph texting in that same thought. He was involved refereeing in a game, a high school game, he says, between Fairfield and Mount Vernon. And young man had to be taken off the field by ambulance, and he will never forget that. And it didn't even happen to me, is what Ralph says. And Matt in Fairfax also saying that last night made me feel that creepy, scary feeling that I had when Newman wrecked at Daytona. Hope he's going to recover. That would be, DeMar Hamlin. Hopefully, he'll have the recovery that Ryan Newman had, who is living a very full and complete life right now.
Yeah, the secondary story is about this game, and the NFL has announced it will not be made up this week. Unsure whether it will be made up at all. And if I had a vote, forget about it.
I don't think it's going to be made up.
It's going to have, I haven't looked into, dived into the whole thing. You know, say they declare it a tie. How that impacts the playoff race, the seedings and whatnot, who cares? Cincinnati had to go on the road how many times last year and did what the Bengals did. So, I mean, I think leave it up to players and the coaches. They should have the loudest voice in the room. What they want to do about this game.
Yep, you're right. 319-366-1600 and 7854 also sending us a text. Chucky Hughes, the Ole Miss player. Was that Chucky? Was that a different guy I'm thinking of? Let's see. No, that was Chuck Hughes in 1971. I'm thinking of Chucky Mullins. But yes, back in 1971. This happened as well with the Detroit Lions, and they continued the game. And I'm not going to get on the NFL. I know a ton of people are all over the NFL today.
Stop it.
You got to know the NFL can't, 3 minutes after this happens, just stop the game. They got to talk to the teams. There are a lot of things and boxes that have to be checked. They did the right thing. Then they stopped it. It should not have been started again. And whether, you know, after that, he was taken off in the ambulance and they said, okay, we're going to start in 5 minutes. And I was thinking to myself, I go, there's no way you can start this thing in 5 minutes. And, you know, It is a different situation than it was 50 years ago, thank goodness. Now, I will say this. I've been to, you know, I know of these situations as far as auto racing is concerned, and there have been some times, and it has happened even in the last handful of years, where there has been a bad accident, a near fatality, or a fatality where the night continued. It's happened at football games before, et cetera, et cetera. There's no precedent to anything that happened last night. There's just no precedent. You don't know how to react until you're actually thrown into a situation like this. And I hope nobody out there has to be thrown into a situation like that.
You could tell players on either team did not want to continue in the game.
No.
I mean, they are used to guys being injured, being carted off the field with an ankle injury or an ACL or whatever. They are not used to, and neither are we, seeing a guy involved in a tackle stand up and collapse. You don't see that, and for it was clear to me neither team wanted to play.
No,
I wanted to continue.
No, 319-366-1600. Yes, and 5102. I do remember when. Yes, the same. Basically the same situation, except there wasn't obviously this is a basketball situation with Hank Gathers back for Loyola Marymount in the day.
I think that was Marfan syndrome, which is it involved with the heart.
Correct.
Yeah.
But collapsed on the court in that game for Loyola and eventually passed away. And that was a terrible situation. And there have been others. As far as the sports world is concerned. And it's everybody needs to step back. We need to find out how the young man is going to be. Hopefully he's going to be able to, resume a normal life or anything like that. I hope he can. And if that is the case, then wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people are contributing to his charity today, which is great, fantastic. If you want to do that, you can go find it. There are many, many ways to do that. And, you know, it's going to be a situation where everybody's going to come together as far as not only the football and the sports world, but I just think basically a lot of people just in America and around the world are going to come together because of this. We're going to play football again.
And should.
Football is as safe as it's been in a long, long time. I feel safe in saying that.
Can it get safer? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, if there is one thing that comes out of this, I hope, is that you get rid of the demonstrations when somebody makes a big hit on someone, like we had, just as a matter of fact, between the Colts and the Giants on Sunday. Get rid of that stuff. I hope that goes away.
You're right, and you can't appreciate, you alluded to it, the speed and violence of the game. I've been on the sidelines multiple times, and you have as well, at the college level. And you marvel at, again, the speed and the violence with which they play this game, and you multiply it in the NFL. I have not been on the field for an NFL game to see that. It doesn't come through necessarily on the television.
No.
So these are highly trained athletes, and this is a bad accident. And you hope the best for everybody involved.
319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. Thank you for joining us here today. Do appreciate it. And, 58-22, and we said it a little bit earlier on. Yes, the paramedics, the first responders, the team physicians should get all kinds of kudos for what they did last night, and as well as, you know, handled by everyone, and that includes all the way down to the fans, as 58-22 said. They stuck around. The booth at Monday Night Football, we'll get to that coming up in a moment. But Everybody said that everybody, you know, very, very patient on their best behavior as well. They should be. You know what is happening out there when you're at the football game like that and you see football players react like that. You know this is an extraordinary situation. And like I said, hopefully we'll come out better as far as this is concerned. And, yeah, I tip my hats. A lot of people kind of, I don't know if they poo-poo, but at least they don't think twice about the people on the sideline, whether, and it could be at the pro level, the college level, even the high school level like that. There's a reason why high schools now have basically a full-time trainer that is there.
And an ambulance on site.
And an ambulance on site. You can't do anything without an ambulance, whatever sport it may be. And, you know, they do a great job when they're thrown into a situation like that. They show exactly what they have as far as their mettle is concerned. And, just thank those people next time you see them. There you go. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. And let's go to line one and bring in one of our loyal listeners and good friends. Bob Landis joining us.
Yes, Bob.
How you doing, Bob?
Hi, guys. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Bob.
Yeah, I only had something that I wanted to refer to. I heard a lot of things yesterday after this incident where they said, this is, never happened before, and it's new to everything. Well, that isn't exactly true. We did have a death on the field, and it was back I think when there were six or eight teams in the NFL, and the only games we ever got were on Thanksgiving Day, and most of the games were played at Detroit. And in one of those years, and I was trying to think exactly when it was, but in one of those years, we had a situation where it was about halfway through the first half, I guess, and one of the players was walking back to the huddle, and he collapsed, and he died right on the spot. And that was interesting because we didn't know at the time, but they took him out right away, and then they announced to the people that he had had a heart attack and died on the field.
Hmm. Yeah. Dad.
And I know it's a little different than this, but it was, it has happened before.
It has. And you've been around enough of the people on the sideline that help out like that, the training staff and people like that, to know that they never want to have this situation, no matter what level you're at. But they are just such good medical people.
Well, now they are. And, and in those days, if somebody had had something like he had, there was no way that he would have survived. We just didn't have very many things going on in terms of equipment and so on to deal with that. And I thought they handled this really well, and it sounded this morning like the young man is probably going to be all right, but it's just going to take a little time. Whether he plays the game again or not is I don't think they're sure of. But it definitely was a shocking thing, but I thought they handled it. Everybody handled it very well.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
Guys, you betcha. Take care.
All right. 319-366-1600 here in the Gym Class program on KGYM. We'll get to Iowa football. We'll get to the college football bowls and what happened over the weekend. A little bit of basketball. We'll do that as well coming up here in just a little bit. As I did want to get to last night. Number one, I think it was very, 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 very fortunate that we didn't get to see him collapsing on the field. ESPN, ABC, ESPN2, whichever platform you're watching, was at a commercial break from what I understand. Correct, Mark? And Joe Buck came back. And I tell you what, and it includes me a little bit, I'm not the world's biggest Joe Buck fan, certainly not the biggest Troy Aikman fan, but I thought they did a tremendous job last night with handling this situation. Again, you do not have a script for this. This is unprecedented stuff, and you have to be I mean, you just have to be ultra careful in what you do, what you say, the shots you get with the truck, things like that. You just, you know, you take a normal situation and multiply it times, you know, the nth degree. And I thought Buck and Aikman did a really, really good job last night. You know, and whatever you say about what ESPN did or didn't do or what have you, they were in shock as much as anybody else was. You couldn't in 20. This happened 20 years ago. You probably go back to different programming and break in with updates. You know,
and
this
could have done that.
They could have done that, but in 2022, you can't really do that. Or 2023 now, you can't really do that. I mean, it's a 24-hour news cycle. You have to stay on the air. You have to describe what you see. Well, there was nothing happening after the ambulance left. They were all waiting for information. You know, the information wasn't going to come immediately, and they were trying to fill. They were trying to do their best, and it's just a tough, tough situation. And I must say that I was not even watching the game at that point. I was actually watching the end of the Rutgers-Purdue game because I knew that that was coming down to the conclusion. I said, well, it's first quarter. I'm just going to go over here and see how Rutgers and Purdue are doing. And, you know, and all of a sudden my son texts me and, did you see what's happening? And I said, no, I'm watching the end of the Purdue-Rutgers game. And, oh, you got to go back. And I said, oh, boy. And there you go.
Yeah, I'm not going to criticize what how ESPN handled it because it's unprecedented territory. I mean, they had a guy at the hospital. You knew there wasn't going to be any information coming out of the hospital. So that was kind of for naught. But I thought that Buck and Aikman handled things with a lot of class. I appreciated the camera. Outside the locker rooms, when Sean McDermott was talking with the officials and his players, and that kind of took me inside the story a little bit. But, I mean, this day and age, people are starved for information, whether it's live TV or Twitter or whatever it may be. And it just wasn't going to happen last night. You weren't going to find out much about Hamlin. You know, in that hour, could they have gone to a 30 for 30, broke in when there was news? That's debatable. Yeah,
I guess it was. Was it shown last night? Were you? Some people say I read it was not, but maybe on some platforms it was. I don't know. They cut away immediately. I do know that. And 86-83 saying, yeah, all the networks did a very good job last night. I think Booger said it best. It's not about football. It's about a young man's life. So, yeah, there you go. CBS. All right, showed it. All right, 319-366-1600. Tim asking, have you ever been on the radio when a horrible injury happened? Not anything of that ilk. Certainly, of course, PA-wise, I was on the PA the night we had the fatality at Hawkeye Downs, and I wouldn't want to go through that again or any of the after effects of that, and hopefully we'll never have anything like that, and hopefully I'll never have any of that when we're calling a game. So far, yeah, no, except for that night, which wasn't fun.
No, I could only imagine that. I mean, in my personal experiences, the Chris Street death was not similar by any means, but it was from the standpoint of you're going about your routine. You're not calling play-by-play. That night I was trying to put a newspaper together, and that happened. So there are those things that come up that, you know, you just have to deal with, and there's no playbook for it.
Nope, and the Chris Street, that was weren't on the air. We were just done with the game that night. In fact, I can tell you exactly what I was doing when I heard that and whom I heard it from. And then going back here like you did and taking care of things that night and reporting things and also not a fun night, a night you wouldn't want to relive, certainly. But thoughts and prayers with that young man, and I guess the best news is that, right now it looks like he is going to recover. You never say he is going to when you're in critical condition like that, but the at least the news is good as of this moment. So there you go. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. 0931, yeah. Oh, yeah. The wrestler that collapsed at Wells Fargo. That was, mid-20-teens, something like that. So this can happen in any level.
The player that to whom Bob Landis referred was, and a texter sent us a link as well, Chuck Hughes.
Chuck Hughes, yep.
1971. And he, to this date, is the only player known to have died on the field.
Been some many scary incidents, but yes, the only death right there that I can recall anyway. 319-366-1600. We're going to get to Iowa football. There is news out of Iowa City today. We're going to get to the college bowls. We're going to get to college basketball. All that here in the next half hour. So thank you for joining us here today on the Gym Class here on KGYM. And we're going to do that. But first, we need to throw it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot here in Cedar Rapids. And also, you can give us the results of the Emil's Hideaway pick six.
I could do that as well. Keegan Murray, former Iowa star, has been named the NBA Western Conference Player of the Month for December. He, of course, plays for the Sacramento Kings. Iowa picked up a wide receiver over the weekend. His name is Seth Anderson, son of Flipper.
They call him Flipper.
Anderson played last year at Charleston Southern, caught 42 balls, 612 yards, and 7 touchdowns. Backup quarterback at Iowa, Carson May, has announced he's entered the transfer portal, and Lucas Van Ness, defensive lineman and led Iowa in sacks the last 2 years, is going to the NFL. NBC has announced that Brad Faxon and Smiley Kaufman are joining their golf crew. Whether you like NBC or not, you're going to get used to Faxon and Smiley.
Going to be better than Gary Koch.
Yeah. Results of the Emil's Hideaway pick six. Very even week. I squeezed by with a 4-2 record. And the other three of the panelists were 3-3. And, we'll pick games this week. It's a mixture of NFL games and college games, including an FCS championship game.
I was wondering if you're going to throw the little FCS Missouri Valley Football Conference battle in there. So, yeah, good. By the way, a couple things. Number one, Anderson, the son of Willie Flipper Anderson, who still holds the single-game receiving record for receiving yardage in the National Football League.
Didn't know that.
Yes, 336. Troy, plug your ears. Did it in November 26, 1989 for the Rams. The Los Angeles Rams against the New Orleans Saints. Remember that. Remember that very, very well, because he beat at that time the former record holder, Stephon Page of the Kansas City Chiefs, who had 309.
Hmm.
Did it against the Chargers back in 1985. And then Calvin Johnson got close in 2013, but did not quite get so. Let's hope young Anderson's as good as dad.
Yeah. By the way, Brian from Winthrop, whether by default or not, picked me to succeed in the pick six, and he won a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway. Enjoy it, Brian.
Coming south from Buchanan County to to have a good night of food at Emil's Hideaway. And yes, 79-93, we did mention the great job done by the first responders as well as the team physicians and the team medical personnel last night. They did save DeMar Hamlin's life, and that is the bottom line of things. We'll take a break, come back, and we will talk about Iowa and the bowl game against Kentucky. That and more when we return after a look at weather and a break here in the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Kason Ferks with a check of your weather first forecast. As we head into the afternoon hours on Tuesday, showers and thunderstorms begin to move out of the area, leaving us with mostly cloudy skies. High temperatures today will be into the upper 30s and lower 40s. As we head towards Tuesday night, cloudy skies are going to stick around as temperatures will be dropping into the middle 20s. Snow showers, though, begin to move in as we head towards Wednesday. Those will begin in the morning and stick around throughout the day. Temperatures will be significantly cooler. Highs only expected to be into the upper 20s. And that was a check of your Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
This is a test of the emergency alert system.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
One of the things I love about betting on the NFL is that I'm always finding new player or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is that you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. Perfect for the Vikings and Bears contest. Justin Jefferson going over 100 yards receiving, David Montgomery as an anytime touchdown score, and Dalvin Cook as an anytime touchdown score is a same game parlay that I like. Same game parlay is just one of the reasons to bet with FanDuel. They have an easy to use app. It's easy to register, easy to deposit, and easy to find your bet, and they have fast withdrawals. When you win, FanDuel pays you your winnings fast. There's no feeling like nailing a same game parlay, so lock in your bet today on FanDuel. New to FanDuel Sportsbook? Sign up with promo code COON for your no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's promo code KUHN. 21 plus and present in Iowa. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable. Free bets expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back. The sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit mfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7244. Today.
For people trying to recover from opioid use disorder, it's hard to know where to begin. At iowaopioidhelp.com, you'll find resources near you for proven treatment and a road back to your old self. Because opioid addiction is not a character flaw, it's an illness. If you or a loved one is struggling with opioid use disorder, visit iowaopioidhelp.com today. Start here. Start healing. Sponsored by the Iowa Attorney General's Office and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Welcome back to the Gym Class, Tuesday edition here on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Ben, and Isaac on the other side of the glass. 319-366-1600 is the text line. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. And a happy new year to you, Cajun Troy, as well. And she says, she adds that the Saints have had many records leveled against them over the years in the National Football League. They got a big win, though, over the weekend up at Philadelphia. They were alive for a little bit as far as the playoffs, and I think they're out now. Slate has been set, by the way, for the weekend, unless things change due to the Buffalo-Cincinnati game. Again, I don't think that game is going to be made up, and probably shouldn't be made up. I don't know how it's going to be. There's been talk of moving the entire schedule back a week, taking out the week of the bye week between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl. Listen, the networks aren't going to be happy if they don't have football this weekend. So I don't see that happening. I think this is either, like you said, Mark, going to go down as a tie, or it's going to go down as a no contest. We'll see. And, you know, right now that doesn't really make a whole lot of noise. And yeah, it just doesn't make a whole lot of difference if we make this game up or not. And that's coming from a guy whose team is directly involved in the outcome of last night's game with the number one seed. But at any rate, 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM as we thank you for tuning in each and every day to us here. Local programming getting started with Spencer on sports at 2, and then Todd and Alex from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. And Mark, there was a bowl game on Saturday morning. Seems like it's about, you could insert the joke. It seems like a year ago that it took place, but it almost does. Iowa getting a 21-0 victory over the Kentucky Wildcats, a little measure of revenge in this year's Music City Bowl after the loss a year ago to the same Kentucky football program. A lot of different personnel out there, but tell you what, hats off to the Iowa defense who came to play one more time. And as we said last week, I think it's going to go down, if they're not the best, from 1 to 11 as far as all-time defenses in Iowa football history are concerned, they're going to be in the top three.
Yeah, it's hard to come up with, five better defenses in Iowa history. Exhaustive research. Second in the country in points allowed. And Mark Stoops, the Kentucky coach, put it perfectly. Iowa did what Iowa does.
Yep.
Between the defense and Torrey Taylor, who announced he's returning next year to the Iowa program, welcome news. But I still can't get out of my head what Jack Campbell went through.
Oh, yeah.
On that night when Friday night his grandfather was killed in an automobile pedestrian accident. And Campbell's parents decided not to tell Jack until after the game. Imagine all the joy that Jack Campbell had from winning that last game, his very last game at the college level, and then to be told that his grandfather had died the night before. Just a very sad story. A side story and a big one to this Iowa Bowl victory. But as far as the game itself, unless you're from Iowa or Kentucky, it had to be the most boring game you could ever watch.
Especially when Iowa put up 14-0 and then went basically into the shell.
I would say Joey Labus was okay. About 140 yards passing. The biggest thing he did or didn't do, he didn't make any mistakes.
And didn't give Kentucky the ball in plus situation.
Right. Cooper DeJean was the player of the game. Jack Campbell led the defense in tackles. I thought Sebastian Castro had his best games.
Devontae Craig was tremendous as well for Iowa.
Just up and down the line. The defense was remarkable.
It was. They outscored the offense for the fourth time this year in 13 games. I echo your sentiments about Jack on the field and, of course, the sad situation off the field right there. He was tremendous. Seth Benson was very good as well. Xavier Wampa.
Yeah.
With the pick six. And his first extended playing time on the defensive side of the ball. And you got to think that I was in pretty good stead with Castro and Wampa back there. Quinn Schulte coming back. They're going to have to dial up the corners a little bit. They've got some candidates back there that I think can do the job. They'll miss Riley Moss. There's no doubt about that. Van Ness leaving for the National Football League. And by the way, that is the subject, his departure of our poll question at KGYMradio.com. Brought to you by a very happy Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They've been serving customers since 2003.
Will Van Ness be a first-round draft pick in the NFL? And on the text line, 1156, we're going to miss Hercules. That's Van Ness. I'd hope we get another year out of him, but no doubt he's NFL ready, and best of luck to him.
First round, my guess is probably no, but I think he goes in the second or the third round. He's a good player, and he's ready to go as far as the next level is concerned. And I was fine as far as the defensive line is concerned. They're going to be terrific. And, you know, just get a couple of corners in there. We'll see if Higgins and others can step in as far as a linebacker is concerned.
That's going to be a key.
That's going to be big. Yeah. That's going to be big. Torrey Taylor coming back is huge. Of course, Stevens coming back as the kicker. Cade McNamara coming in. Could still probably use an offensive lineman, probably, and perhaps another wide receiver coming in out of the portal if you're Iowa. But, you know, I think you've been going into the offseason in worst situations if you're the Hawks. Now, 86-83 reminding us that Iowa was 0 for 11 on third downs and 0 for 2 on fourth down in the ball game. You're right. I think when Iowa got a 14, Iowa came out offensively and did a few things that were differently, Ran a little RPO, a lot more quick stuff with Labus in there. Now, when Iowa got the 14-0 lead, and Kirk Ferentz saw that Kentucky was not going to be able to move the ball against Iowa, he basically went back to square one. And you can't blame him. As Stoops said after the game, Iowa did Iowa things. And that's Iowa 101 right there. Didn't run the ball very well.
That's still troubling, man.
It is troubling.
It's troubling.
That's got to get picked up next year. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, as far as what they needed to do to beat a Kentucky team, granted, that was without probably a number one draft choice, first-round draft choice at quarterback, and a pretty high draft choice as far as a running back is concerned, Iowa did what they had to do. I'm not going to comment about the sickos committee. 64-29.
Talk about the DBs. You got Cooper DeJean back, too.
Correct. Forgot about Goop.
DeJean, Schulte, Wampa, T.J. Hall is
Castro.
Been improving. Castro. That's not going to be a bad group again.
No. DeJean, of course, the MVP, as you mentioned, of the bowl game, and could have been a lot of people back there, but DeJean was terrific, and imagine he's going to be back there returning punts again next year for this Iowa football team, because he's dynamic when he gets back there. Very dynamic. The offense, yep, needs to have some retooling, I think.
Some?
The question is going to start. I mean, I'm surprised it has not started. Are there going to be changes? It's going to be, I'll ask you, Mark, an 8-5 football team, granted, led by the defense, led by special teams. I don't know. I cannot really make one designation, one side of the fence or the other, as far as if there is going to be some movement as far as the coaching staff is concerned. You usually see that. Now, if Iowa came out, got drilled by Kentucky, yeah, I can see that. If you finish 5-7, whatever the case may be, I can see that. 8-5? We'll see.
Will there be changes on the coaching staff, or should there be? That's two entirely different questions, and it's gummed up because of the father-son relationship.
True.
I understand Gary Barta is technically the supervisor of Brian Ferentz, but there should be change. And when you're 130th or so in total offense, that's not acceptable, is it? That's just not acceptable. And it's gone on for a couple years now, whether it's personnel, whether it's philosophy, play calling, what have you. But something, maybe there needs to be a reshuffling of the staff. I don't know. But, again, will there be and should there be? It's two entirely different questions.
Also in Hawkeye football news, mentioned Torrey Taylor coming back next year. It also sounds that there are many reports out there that the, and this was rumored a few months ago, but next year's game at Northwestern looks like it is very close to being at Wrigley Field. The announcement forthcoming very soon that Iowa and Northwestern will play on the north side of Chicago, over there in Wrigleyville. Hopefully they can squeeze the field in there. They've had problems with that in
the past.
They have.
That's due to construction on Northwestern's new stadium, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, that and I think, it's about...
Or maybe that's not happened for a year.
It's about,
I think it's
in the future. You're right. I think they're playing it at Ryan Field again next year. They won 8 games despite the offense, and that's why it needs to be changed, says David in Hudson. I thought Labus played well, especially with the wide receivers he had to work with. It didn't look any different to me than when a certain senior player played all year. I don't believe he was as far behind as the coaches wanted us to believe. So we'll see. Was Van Ness's announcement the reason why he barely played in the bowl game? So asks Doug in Coralville. Van Ness wasn't an every down guy all year.
Mm-mm.
I would ran in defensive ends, defensive linemen throughout the year, the tackles. And there wasn't a whole lot of folks that played down in and down out, if you will, as far as Iowa is concerned.
That's true. 8 or 9 guys shuffled in and out of there. And you mentioned Craig and Noah Shannon and Joe Evans and
Ethan Herkett,
right up and down the line. It's just a good unit without necessarily a star. You could say Van Ness is a star, but in that defensive line, it's just a good collective group.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Graves.
Oh, yeah.
He had a terrific game. And
freshman.
He got some playing time. He got a little bit of Van Ness's playing time. And I think Graves is going to be a stud before this is all said and done. A couple other bowl notes. We now know the championship game. TCU in a fun game. I tell you what, it was the best 2 semifinals we have seen in college football, bar none. With Ohio State and Georgia, you could not make a movie script. Hollywood would not have bought the movie script the way it played out with Georgia on New Year's night. The stroke of midnight, the ball missed on the field goal. And in the Eastern time zone where they were playing that game, the fireworks went off and Georgia comes back to get the victory over a really game Ohio State team. And then the Michigan-TCU game was a game for the ages. Great job by Max Duggan, the Iowa native from Council Bluffs, Lewis Central. And, boy, if you're Matt, the Michigan fan, or anybody that's a Michigan fan, you just got to be staring straight ahead at the wall today.
2 of the best games in the bowl season came in the semifinals, and you hope that the final approaches that. I would say those 2 games and Tulane Southern Cal were the absolute most exciting games to me in the bowl season.
It was a good bowl season. For the most part, it was a good bowl season.
Big Ten 5-4. Penn State rescued the conference with a victory in the Rose Bowl over Utah. Very surprising to me.
No conference really was crazy good.
Well, SEC 6-5, as our friend Rusty just texted me from Florida.
And could be 7-5.
Must be off the golf course. I don't know.
And 7-5 if Georgia beats TCU next Monday night. We'll see about that. And the other thing... it was great to watch. It's always fun to watch the Rose Bowl. Penn State played very, very well. I have not heard anything on Cam Rising today if the extent of that knee injury, but I know he had a brace on yesterday at the end of that game. But that's the last Rose Bowl that we know of of the era of Big Ten versus Pac-12. It's going to go away. So hope you enjoyed it yesterday. We're not going to see that very often. We'll see it every once in a while by accident, but we're not going to see it on a yearly basis, and that's kind of a sad situation. Real quick break. Come back to wrap things up after this in the Gym Class on KGYM.
Working out has been proven to increase your self-esteem, help with depression, anxiety, and stress. At the MAC, we care about you as a person. That's why we have personal trainers you can connect with, group exercise classes so you don't feel alone, saunas to help you relax, and many more amenities.
This year, I'm doing it for me.
This year, I'm joining the MAC for me.
To see everything the MAC has to offer, go to jointhe-mac.com. That's jointhe-mac.com.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Need to update your furniture? Menards has the furniture you need in stock. Plus, you get a free rug. That's right, buy any upholstered living room furniture at $299 or more and get a free 5x7 area rug. That's $149.99 in savings. Need a new chair? How about a sectional, a new recliner, or love seat? Buy one today, get a free rug. Hurry up, get to Menards before they're gone. In-store only while supplies last.
Save big money at Menards.
Back with you to wrap things up on the Gym Class tomorrow. Mark Ironside joins us. We'll talk about the Soldier Salute. Very successful first year as far as the event down in Coralville is concerned. And Chris List to join us coming up tomorrow as well. 319-366-1600-8699. Reminding us there is basketball. He says as far as Iowa men go. What a difference a month makes. It feels like with the fans, we've gone from talking about this team being a tough out in the NCAAs to can we go 500 in conference play. Second half, much better against Penn State. Iowa started to hit some outside shots, but it was too little too late. 18-point hole is too much to dig out of against a pretty good Penn State team. And Iowa goes to 0-3. It's a must win. Coming up on Thursday night, you go 0-4 with Indiana coming to town on Thursday night for an 8 o'clock game at Carver Hawkeye, and I don't even think 500 is what you talk about. You try to get as close as you can and maybe get ready to do well in the tournament. I don't know, but they at least had a better second half up at State College.
You can say that. The hole has been dug though, and it's a deep one in my mind, especially if Iowa goes to 0-4, and then it's, gets very difficult because each game's going to be hard.
Yeah.
But it was good to see Iowa break out of it in the second half, and you just need that to continue going forward.
Iowa State, on the other hand, what a win against Baylor at a raucous Hilton Coliseum on Saturday. That might be the game we say that may have been the coming out party for Taman Lipsey. He was tremendous. Gabe Kalischer was good as well. That fast break they had where Lipsey went in and the no-look bounce pass to a trailing Kalischer for the pull-up three on the run was about as good as it gets. And they blitzed Baylor. We'll see what happens when Iowa State goes on the road, but that was...
Baylor looked disinterested to me.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah.
Just was not a typical Baylor Coach Drew-led team in that. I don't know if they stayed up late bringing in the new year. I don't know. Or getting ready to bring in the new year. But, yeah, I agree with you. But, hey, you can't take credit away from Iowa State. More on last night coming up with Todd and Alex. More on the football bowl game, Iowa basketball, basketball in general, and more coming up. Don't forget tonight, CRM Live Sports. We got Jeff and Prairie. We're back at it. Girl-boy doubleheader tonight at 5:45. Looking forward to that over at Jefferson. Mark Ironside and Chris List coming up tomorrow as well. Have a great night to you.
I will. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class presented by DePaco Community Credit Union right here on KGYM. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Susan has always wanted to live in a chateau.
I like a certain je ne sais quoi.
While Jake is more into the Cape Cod style home.
It's a classic look.
Compromise is tough.